Galatians chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 18 through 24. If you have your place in your Bible, let me hear you say amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. I am going to read verses 18 through 24. And God's word says this: Then 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. But I did not see any other of the apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now, in what I am writing to you, I assure you before God that I am not lying. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. I was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ, but only they kept hearing, "He who once persecuted us is now preaching the faith which he once tried to destroy." And they were glorifying God because of me. We'll stop there and let's pray. Father, it's good to get back into the study of the book of Galatians. And I pray, Lord, that in these short little seven verses, we learn a little bit more about your word and what's going on here and the reasons why the Apostle Paul wrote what he wrote. We know that this scripture is inspired by your Holy Spirit, and we want to dig into the truths that you want to reveal to us today. We give you the glory. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. We continue back once again in our expository study of the book of Galatians. We started that earlier in the year, and we're finally back to them. We're going to stick with it. We're going verse by verse through this wonderful book, and I want to unpack as many truths that I can find and share them all with you. I'm just going to put a couple things up here this morning. I had the scripture that I didn't put up there. But I have this little thing up there. If you ever want to know, well, Mike, what about your previous sermons? You might want to get caught up with what I've already said about the book of Galatians in the first 18 verses. All the sermons are up on our website, and there's our church website. And we have a YouTube channel, and I have all the sermons up there along with the PowerPoint slides. And I also have a Facebook. Beech Grove has a Facebook presence, and those are all the places where you can go to get caught up if you need to get caught up on any of the previous sermons that I have ever given on any topic, actually all the way back to 2007. So since we have missed 4 months since I preached on this book of Galatians, here's a quick review of what we've covered in our study about this book so far. So let's go on back. Week number one, we'll go through these real quick. Week number one was titled Not Sent from Men. We learned these three things. One, the Apostle Paul wrote this book. Number two, the main theme of the book is to warn the people in the churches at Galatia about false teachers and about false doctrine. And we will get more into what those particulars are as we get more into this book. Number three, Paul wanted to make sure that people knew that he was an apostle that was sent by God, sent from God on this mission to do what he was doing. Week number two, peace with a purpose. He wanted to let the people know that they have been set free from their sins. And the second thing, that they should praise God for his provision. Because you remember, the gospel was something new, and it was being proliferated in all the Gentile countries at this time. Week number three, in less than 5 years. In less than 5 years after these churches were formed in these cities in Galatia, and there were four of them, the churches in Galatia were already beginning to embrace false doctrine. It doesn't take long for churches to start doing the wrong thing and teaching and believing the wrong thing. And that happened in less than 5 years. Week number four, missing pieces. An incomplete gospel cannot save anybody. You must preach both grace and law. They both must be preached. If you don't preach both, then there's missing pieces to the gospel. I cannot preach to you the fact that you need a savior if you don't know that you are a sinner. Right. The law, I'm a sinner. Grace, I've been saved by Jesus. And we put those two pieces together. Missing pieces out of a gospel doesn't save anybody. Week number 5, the favor of men. False teachers were infiltrating the churches at Galatia, and they wanted to gain the favor of men instead of the favor of God. So they wanted the favor of men. And point number 2, those who desire the favor of men are not servants of Christ, the Apostle Paul says. Week number 6, a revelation to Paul. All the writings of Paul have authority because he received a direct revelation from God. And Paul's teachings are that of Jesus himself. And we learned that in week number 6. And then the last one, week number 7, Paul is a transformed man. It says that Paul he admitted that he had a blemished past. That was his admission. And Paul was recommissioned because he said he was set apart by God for God's purpose, God's plan, God's pleasure. And then number 3, he takes a 3-year intermission to prove that his calling, his training, and his apostleship are all from Jesus himself. The last time we visited this book, Paul made an admission, he was recommissioned, and he took an intermission. 3 words that I used in that particular message. Well, that gets us through all the 7 weeks very quick. Again, those messages are up on the church website and on YouTube. If you go there, you can listen to them if you want to get caught up. But that leads us to today, message number 8. And today's message I have titled, Meet the Leaders. A little story for you. It was February of 1973. And you know exactly where you were in February of 1973, don't you? February of 1973, I knew where I was at. One day, I was traveling from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, to this little city in Virginia called Waynesboro, Virginia. I was being interviewed for a job at the General Electric Corporation in Waynesboro, Virginia. They were hiring electronic technicians, and I had just gone through trade school. I was about ready to graduate, and I had the particular skill that General Electric was looking for at that time. I remember I went through a series of interviews with different managers who were hiring the technicians within their departments at that time. But to be honest with you, getting through that interview process was rather intimidating. I was only 19 years old, and I really didn't know much about anything, to be honest with you. And these men that were interviewing me were so much older, and they were so much more mature than me. They appeared to be like in their 30s. And they were already working for this major corporation, General Electric, and I wanted a job there. And I was only, again, 19 years old when this happened, and I didn't know much about the world and much about anything. But I was confident in my ability to perform whatever task they might be hiring me for. And I still remember the day that I received that letter from General Electric where they offered me a job as an electronic technician. I remember my mother got the envelope out of the mailbox and she said, "Mike, it's from GE. I think this is for you." And I opened it up and it was a letter of acceptance, and she gave me a hug and she was all happy for me, and I accepted the job, and I worked there from April of 1973 through January of 2002. But the point I want to make with that little story is this: it can be a little intimidating sometimes when you have to meet the leaders of an organization that you want to become a part of, or that you are a part of and you want to be a bigger part of. And that's where we find the Apostle Paul here in our scripture text today. He meets 2 very important leaders of the church. In week number 7, we talked about this. We learned that before Paul ever went to Jerusalem, he spent 3 years in Arabia and Damascus, the text tells us. And in these 3 years, he was being trained and he was sent directly by Jesus Christ himself. We don't know much about that, but we do know that that happened. And it was because of these 3 years that he spent with Jesus that he could say that he was neither trained nor sent from men. He was sent by and from Jesus himself. And remember, there are credentials to being, qualifications of being an apostle. We talked about these, but I want to bring them back up here today because they have a direct impact on the conversations that Paul is going to have with Peter and James. The qualification of an apostle, to have been a witness of the resurrected Christ. We get that from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. Number two, to have been explicitly chosen by the Holy Spirit. We have that in Acts chapter 9, verse 15. And to have the ability to perform signs and wonders. We get that from Acts 2, 43 and 2 Corinthians 12, 12. Those are the qualifications of being an apostle back in the apostolic age. Now, just a little tangent. We know that there are people today who claim that they are apostles. They claim that they have all three of these. They claim to be a witness of the resurrected Christ. What does that say about their credibility? There you go. You lost the first one. To explicitly been chosen by the Holy Spirit. Well, that could be debatable. To have the ability to perform signs and wonders. Oh, they want you to think so, my friends. That's why they are self-proclaimed apostles today. But that's another message that I've already spoken many, many months ago. But had Paul gone immediately to Jerusalem after his conversion, which would have been a distance of about 136 miles, everyone could say that he was sent and trained by men. But his time with Jesus proves his apostleship because he had been with Jesus. And that is a critical credential for the foundation of the church. And he could present these credentials to the two people that he's about to meet here in the book of Galatians. We know that he finally arrives back in Jerusalem and he meets up with Cephas. Now, who is Cephas? Cephas is Peter. It's just another name for Peter. Yes, it's the same apostle Peter that we read about in the Gospels. And it says that he stayed with him for 15 days. Chances are, Peter would have been familiar with Saul, the old Paul before he became Paul. He was Saul, the man who persecuted the church. And Peter might have even been very fearful of this guy when he comes to stay with him. And Paul, on the other hand, might have been somewhat familiar with the followers of Jesus while Jesus was alive and he was teaching in and around the area of Jerusalem and Judea. And that would have included Peter. So Paul, in this first visit with Peter, we don't know much about it. We just know that he stayed with him for 15 days. But let's kind of use our sanctified imagination here for a second. I'm sure that Paul explained his apostolic credentials to Peter at this time. And he had to assure Peter that he was a changed man. What he once persecuted, which was the church. And again, Peter might have been very afraid of this man. Paul was now helping to build and establish. And I'm sure in these 15 days, again, we don't know any details, but I'm sure there was some doubt on the part of Peter. Is this guy for real? Could he trust Paul? Or was he just maybe some kind of mole trying to get into the organization? And I'm sure there were some very, very interesting conversations going on afterwards in those 15 days once they each had the trust of each other. So we don't know much about what happened there. We do know a lot about Peter. We can see all his escapades in the Gospels and we can read all about him. But we don't know much about what happened in those 15 days. But let's move on to the other gentleman that Paul meets. It says that but I did not see any of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now, in what I am writing to you, I assure you before God that I am not lying. Galatians 1, verses 19 and 20. Let me spend some time here this morning giving you some information, some historical, some biblical information about this man right here, about this man James. Probably many things we have never considered before. First of all, so let's look at the Bible. Let's see what we can figure out here. From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 2 through 4, now the names of the 12 apostles are these: first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and James, the son of Zebedee, there's a James, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, there's another James, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. We always know this. In the Gospels that always give a list of the 12 apostles, Peter is always first, and Judas is always last. But here we see the names of two men who are named James. One was James, the son of Zebedee. We know him. He had a brother, John. And we know this, that and there was another James, James, the son of Alphaeus. And we don't know much about him. James, the son of Zebedee, he was not only John's brother, but he was part of Jesus' inner circle. And a lot of times in the Bibles you'll read, well, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John. Those three kind of went together, and we could see where there might have been maybe a little animosity with the other ones, because it seemed like these three guys kind of hung out with Jesus a little more. But this man James, in Galatians chapter 1, is not James the son of Zebedee, and it's not James the son of Alphaeus. It's neither one of those two. So who is this particular James? Well, how does Paul identify him? James, the Lord's brother. Now, wait a second. Jesus had a brother? Was it a real brother? Or maybe it was just a figure of speech. You know, we kind of say, well, you know, Dave's my brother in Christ, or he's a brother in Christ. We would say those particular things. But Jesus had brothers, and this man James was one of Jesus' brothers. So let's have a little Bible history lesson here, and let's see what we can learn about this guy, James. We know that Jesus was the firstborn child of Mary. She was a virgin conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she bore Jesus. We all know that story. And we know that Joseph was Jesus' stepfather. But after that, Mary and Joseph went on to have more children. After that, they had sons, they had daughters. In Matthew 15, verses, let me get to that one. Matthew 15, 13, verses 54 and 55, the scriptures tell us this. He, meaning Jesus, came to his hometown, Nazareth, and began teaching them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers?" Here we go. He starts listening. James and Joseph and Simon and Judas. So we know that Jesus had at least four brothers, one of them named James. And that would be the same James that we see in the book of Galatians. Now, the Catholic Church, in their quest to keep Mary a perpetual virgin, would say that the word that is used for the word brothers here in verse 55 really doesn't mean brothers. You're not like a brother. It means the word cousins. That's what they would say. But that's the way they get around the fact that Mary is a perpetual virgin. Well, she is not. She had other children. The Greek word that is used there for brothers is the Greek word adelphos. Adelphos means brothers. I have a brother. Some of you have brothers. It's brothers just like we would have brothers. It does not mean cousins. And we read about another encounter that Jesus had with his half-brothers here in John chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. The scriptures tell us this. Therefore, his brothers said to him, and we know he had at least four, "Leave here and go into Judea, so that your disciples also may see your works, which you are doing. For no one does anything in secret when he himself seeks to be known publicly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. And that's what the brothers are telling Jesus. For not even his brothers were believing in him. So we know that his brothers, all younger brothers, kind of had this thing about their older brother, Jesus. And just for a second, kind of try to put that hat on, where your older brother is the savior of the world. Of course, you don't know that at the time. It's all kind of foreign to you. Maybe you've been asking yourself questions over the years. Why is he so different? Why is he so good? Mom, why do you like him best? You know, because he's one of these goody two-shoes. And you could see that here in the statement that the brothers are making. Go show yourself. You do all these things. But it says not even his brothers were believing in him. Was Jesus' brother James one of these unbelieving brothers here in this verse? Well, we don't know for sure, but I'm going to kind of go out on a limb and say, I think that he certainly was. And we do know that sometime after that, James, this same brother who probably was part of this statement, did become a believer and a rather prominent figure in the early church. So how may this have happened? Well, I'm going to suggest one theory. We have this text in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 4 through 8. Paul is writing to the people in the church at Corinth, and he says this, and that he, meaning Jesus, was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. Most scholars would agree that the James that is mentioned here was the half-brother of Jesus, the same one that we're talking about. Could you imagine, what would you be thinking? This older brother of yours who's going around doing all these miracles and all these people are following him. You have just seen him crucified on a cross. And now it's within 40 days after that, and you see him, he has risen from the grave. It might stir up a lot of things in your mind. All the things that he may have said, all the things that he may have done, like all the miracles. And this was probably a very defining moment in the life of this man, James, when he sees his older half-brother raised from the grave. A lot of scholars, again, think that this was a defining moment when James became, got saved, we would say here today. So we're going to learn a little bit more about James. Let me introduce you to this gentleman that we need to know a little bit more about. I've mentioned his name before. His name is Titus Flavius Josephus. And most people just know him as Josephus. We'll just call him by his last name. We'll just call him Josephus. The man lived from 37 AD to 100 AD. He was a Jew and he was a Pharisee. He is not mentioned anywhere in the Bible. He was a recorder of Jewish history, and his most important works were two works, the Jewish War and the Antiquities of the Jews. The Jewish War recounts the Jewish revolt against Roman occupation from the years 66 AD to 70 AD. He gives an account of the destruction of Jerusalem from 70 AD. He gives a written account of all of that. And both of these works that he lists here provide valuable insight into first century Judaism and the background of early Christianity. Now, we got to remember, his writings are not scripture, and they are not God-inspired. They are strictly historical. So we'll have to take what he says and what he writes strictly as historical evidence. But in his writings, he speaks about a man named James. And this James, he says, is the half-brother of Jesus. And in his writings, he says that this James was one of the key leaders in the early Jerusalem church, that there was a man named James. And he says this James, who was an early leader, was the half-brother of this other man that he calls, that Josephus calls, Jesus of Nazareth. So we know that this man James is a leader of the early church. And we can see that if we go to the book of Acts chapter 15, verses 12 through 13. It tells us this: all the people kept silent, and they were listening to Barnabas and Paul as they were relating what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. After they had stopped speaking, James answered, saying, "Brethren, listen to me." Acts chapter 15 is what we call the Jerusalem Council, and this man, James, is the leader of that council. Just what Josephus said, he was one of the early leaders of the church. Also, not only have we learned all that about this same guy, James, he is also the man who wrote the little five-chapter epistle that's in the back of your Bible called the Book of James. He wrote that too. So let's sum up. We know that Paul meets a man named James. So let's sum up the five things that we have learned about this man named James that Paul has this encounter with. We know that Paul meets him. We find that out in Galatians chapter 1, verse 19. We know that this same James is the half-brother of Jesus. And yes, Jesus did have little brothers and sisters. We know that Jesus appeared to him after the resurrection from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 7. We know that he was the leader of the Jerusalem Council. We see that in Acts chapter 15, verse 13. And we know that this James wrote the book of James, which is one of the inspired writings that we have in our Bible. Wouldn't it be interesting to know when these two guys got together, what they were saying to each other and what they were learning from each other? Because they both had their doubts about this man named Jesus. Certainly James did. What? My older brother is the savior of the world? That's a pretty big pill to swallow, my friends. And we know that Paul, Saul, was persecuting the church, persecuting people who were following this Jesus of Nazareth. But one thing that these two guys had in common, they were both changed men. They were both once old creatures, and they had both now became new creations in Christ. Today's lesson, Paul meets two leaders. Could they have been intimidating for Paul to meet these two guys? I'm sure that they could have been, and there were some probably very interesting conversations happening along the way. But next week, we're going to get into this. We're going to learn how Paul had to face his reputation of one who once persecuted the church when he returned to Jerusalem, and see how all that happened. Folks, the truth isn't always easy, but it does matter, and it will set you free. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer.